Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad our good friend Tom Asak is here. Tom is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, coming up on he's in his 19th year already, folks. How about that? That's a pretty significant commitment, and for which I appreciate him very much. He's the author of Sandbox Wisdom, A Little Less Conversation, The Business of Belief. He's one of the biggest thinkers in our Brain Trust and one of the smartest guys I know. Tom Asacker, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be back.
An award-winning innovator, by the way, folks. The George Land Innovator of the Year Award. He got that. As I say, very smart. Hey, Tom, I know you want to talk about creativity today. And a lot of times when you talk to small business owners about being creative, they get the wrong idea about how that manifests. I think they think that, you know, you and I want them to decide, you know, to be able to stick Paisley in when Paisley needs to be there, or whether they should pick a different color purple, or you know, what kind, you know, do something that's out of their nature. But creativity in the 21st century is not something that's on the fringes. It's fundamental, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, people hear the word creative, they start thinking about art class or something. Yeah, creative is about how you design and execute whatever it is that you're doing, your life, your business. You know, it's about how you approach the world. So your unique ability to do the things that you do to create value for yourself and for others, That's creativity, but it has to be constantly honed and updated. It's nothing, you cannot stay the same in this world today. And that's why this piece that I wrote and this whole thing about Mount Everest just blew my mind. That's why I wanted to talk to you about it, to try to get this across.
I talked to somebody this week who has a friend who's attempted Mount Everest 11 times and has summited 7 times. That's a lot of attempts. You know, I mean, you and I only imagine doing that, but this guy did that. I mean, why would people go back that many times? Who has the opportunity? How would you have the opportunity? Does that sound like there are hundreds of people every year that try to summit Mount Everest? I guess they does.
Yeah, look, it's crazy. If you saw some of the news reports, especially the photographs of what was going on in Everest, Jim, there were hundreds of people queued up in a line.
I saw that.
Trying to get, yeah, I mean, and they're trying to snap selfie on the top. And you think about it, and you say, how did it go from, like, this one guy climbing the highest mountain in the world, getting in history books, to 200
Sir Edmund
Instagram?
Hillary.
Yeah, how did it get to that? And it's because it's capitalism. It's free market capitalism. You've got a lot of rich adventure tourists trying to get up there now. You've got the government over there saying that, you know, in Nepal saying, look, we need money, issuing all kinds of permits. You've got inexperienced guides jumping in. You've got people developing all kinds of
and equipment. A lot of people dying too, by the way, in the process.
Yeah,
over there.
Well, yeah. So this is what's going on in every aspect of the economy. As soon as this something shows up and it has value, people swoop in and try to figure out how to get a piece of it. And this is just the nature of it, because the internet exposes everything to everyone.
Another good example of this, and a little bit of a, at least physically safer, is cryptocurrency. There are about 2,000 cryptocurrencies right now, even though you and I only know of, most people only know of one. I know of a handful, including Ethereum, including Cloudcoin, but there are 2,000 of those puppies, and more to come.
Yeah, This is what I'm saying. You know, you just keep your eyes open. What, isn't Facebook now looking at trying to do their own
Libra
currency?
Yep, so they've already done it. Libra,
so
that's
you
what...
Keep, mm-hmm. You keep your eyes open. As soon as somebody senses value, everyone swoops in. And so you're either moving forward, capturing value before everyone swoops in, or you're losing value. That's what's going on today. And it reminded me of... you remember the book Only the Paranoid Survive back in
yeah.
the 80s. That was a big-time book that Andy Grove wrote, right? And he was one of the founders of Intel. And back there, he said that you have to be paranoid because there are these strategic inflection points. There are things that change in your environment.
Mm-hmm.
Order of magnitude changes. You have to be prepared. And then he listed them out, right, your competitors. If your competitors are changing, that's a strategic inflection point. If your customers are changing, you know, and you look at it and you say, oh, my God, everything today is a strategic inflection point because every one of those things are changing constantly, constantly. So what do you do?
Well, and of course, he that book proved the point that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that somebody's not coming after you. He proved the point that
no,
they,
exactly
that, they
right.
that
exactly
you should
right.
be you should be a little bit paranoid, but this is the thing that whether it's creativity, whether it's being innovative, however you want to think about it, you can't the internet and technology has compressed the time between the generation of whatever you're using now and the next generation
right.
that comes on the horizon. There's a compression of time. There was a time when you could use a model, a product, a tool, whatever it might be, a strategy. There was a time when it actually would serve families. I mean, like generations. Now, maybe, you know, one of those might last 90 days. You can't fall in love. That's the other thing. You can't fall in love with those things either. Whatever you create today, you can't fall in love with it, can you?
No. Look, Jim, you're absolutely right. In the old days, you created something, and you had, I don't know what the time frame was.
You could dine out on it for maybe a generation. Give it to your kids.
Right, right. That doesn't happen anymore. You write a book today, and you release it. People are scouring through it, taking all that information and repurposing it into their own book to become their own expert with your ideas.
Tom, hold on to
There's
that thought.
No way of
hold on to that thought. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about this way of applying what Tom is talking about to helping you lead change. You're going to have to do this, folks, if you're going to survive. We'll be right back with Tom Asecker, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassie.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.